Good morning.
Good morning.
What a wonderful response. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. We appreciate that you have joined us at Asbury. My name is Don Shipley. I'll be assisting in service this morning. Special welcome to our visitors. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. And we're excited that you're here, and we hope we get a chance to meet you throughout the morning worship and this afternoon, or after worship. So, we do have attendance pads at the end of each pew on the inside aisle. We ask that everyone fill those out so we can have a record of your attendance. We're so happy that you're here. Have a few announcements to get started. Our youth have been very, very excited through the summer, and you're going to see that here in just a little bit with a video. But tonight starts our youth program back officially. Everybody's back in school, so we're starting. So the praise band will meet at 4 o'clock. Confirmation class will be at 4:30, and our youth meeting at 5:30. The fall is an exciting time, and we're happy that we're getting our started back, and I know our youth are too. We also have a very special meeting. Twice a year, we have parent meeting for the youth, and one of those is tonight. It's a mandatory parent meeting, and it starts at 5:30 and should conclude by 6. So it's very important that the parents of the youth are there. If you're unable to attend, please contact Amy Shore and make arrangements to visit with her. These are important times for our youth. There's also an additional youth announcement. There are some shirts left over from previous years and so the youth are having a closeout sale. So I had to read that two or three times before I could understand it. All shirts are left are only $5, and they'll be set up in the back of the activity center this morning. So if you'd like to purchase one of the shirts, please go by and look. On the back of the bulletin, we also have a vibrant children's ministry. There's many activities listed there. So if you have any questions, see Miss Laura about the events of that. Another exciting fall activity is Hog on the Hill. Please save the date of October 15th. And as a new member, I'm very excited about this activity. I'm from Texas. I know barbecue, so I'm interested to see what Hog on the Hill might offer. There is a program called Recycle Bikes for Kids. They're looking for old bikes. So if you have any old bikes that you'd like to donate, you can bring those to the Boy Scout trailer here at the church. See Jim Britt for any details, and all of these donations would be tax deductible. Next Sunday is Stone Soup, August 27th. Please mark your calendars. And if you've not been able to take part in this activity, it is really, really a blessing. Please plan to attend and support the church activities in the Stone Soup. Greg Stansel can answer any questions that you might have. And then Friday, finally, we have an exciting new opportunity beginning September 6th on Wednesday evenings. We're going to have Faith Family Gathering. Dinner's coming back to the church on Wednesday evening. So it will be catered by Corky's, and we'll be having more information in the coming weeks about these activities, but we're going to have dinner on Wednesday nights again. And the first Wednesday night is September 6th, so if you already know you want to attend, please call the church office and offer your reservation for that time. And the menu, you'll probably want to run out right now and make reservations. Chicken fried chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy, green beans, and a roll. So we need to sign up, John. So that'll be good. Please look in the back of the bulletin for all the things that are happening. It's an exciting time of the year for our church. We're starting a new church year. A lot of activities and a lot of opportunities to serve. So at this time, would we stand and pass the peace of Christ and welcome everyone here. As I announced earlier, we do have a video for the youth activities for the summer, so please enjoy the video.
My name is Amy Shores, and I'm the Minister of Youth and Young Adults here at Asbury. And I want to take this time to tell you guys about the summer that our youth ministry has had. It's been a very busy summer. We've done lots of trips and activities, and I'm actually going to let the students tell you in their own words about what we did this summer. But before they talk, I would like to, first of all, thank you guys for all the financial support that you've given, because it definitely takes a lot of financial support to be able to do what we do. And also ask that you all be in prayer for how you can get involved in the youth ministry. We need Sunday school teachers, we need teachers on Sunday night and Wednesday night, we need sick and adults just to be in there and help a safe sanctuary, and we also need adults to go on all of these trips that the youth are going to talk about. Please be in prayer as to what your part is in the youth ministry at Asbury, because everyone has a way that they can get involved.
So at OMP this year, I was extremely excited to go because I had never been before, and everybody that had been said it was great and they always had a great time. And the worship services that we had every night were great, the songs that were new.
And we had these family groups, and we were like a family because we spent so much time together over the week that we got to know each other.
All right, so at OMP, my project was painting this 200-yard fence, this other lady's house, and we did a bunch of yard work, got to play with some cool brand new electric tools, chainsaws, cut some trees down, and then she had this old cellar with a rusted door, so we took that off and then built a new wood one and put it on.
OMP is a mission project in Arkansas where we go to a different church somewhere in a different city usually, and we go to serve others in that community, and we're with a family group, and we go to their house, to a person's house, and do different types of jobs there, like a wheelchair ramp or a porch or even just yard work, and we get to talk to that neighbor and just spend quality time with them.
The work at OMP is, it can be hard, but you got other people there helping you, and it's hot, but it's not that bad. Once you're done and you see how happy the people you did it for, how happy they are, it's just great.
This year we went to San Antonio on a mission trip. There were about 5 people that went with us. In the mornings, we would go to a different place every morning, and then in the afternoons, we would go to the same place. And at the Battered Woman Shelter, we sorted clothing. We also sorted hair and shampoo packets for people, because at Travis Park, they let people shower there, as well as eat food in the afternoon and have worship.
And we had to pack lunches for
My favorite project was the diaper bank, because I'd never seen a diaper bank before, so it was kind of cool to see how the diaper bank worked. And moms could come there and take like these classes, and with the classes you can get like the little diaper kits and stuff, so I thought that was pretty cool.
My favorite part was the car wash, because there was cars coming and I got to like wash them and tell what they needed done. So money that we raised went to OJOT Mission Project trips.
I like coming to youth because they have good food, good lessons. My favorite lesson was whenever we talked about Boulevard of Broken Dreams, because it's a relatable song.
Assembly is like a giant youth gathering at Hendricks College in Conway. And it's basically like we split into different groups and we have worship and we get to know each other in our groups. My favorite part is probably meeting all the new people in our groups and just like going around Hendricks, that's a lot of fun.
So the Hendricks Youth Institute is a program at Hendricks College that gives youth around the jurisdiction a chance to learn more about ministry and figure out what kind of place of ministry they'd want to be in whenever they become an adult. And then we went to a school down there on Eleuther Island and did a day of VBS with the kids there. And then after that, we ate lunch with the kids, and then we went to this really beautiful beach Well, based on what I learned, I believe that my place might be in youth ministry, but I'm not really sure yet. I'm still looking into it.
So Youth Praise Band is a select group of youth members who play music for, like, on fifth Sundays or for youth Friday or Sunday nights. I enjoy it because, like, we all get to learn new instruments. We all get to, like, change and understand everything and, like, have fun about it.
Hey, okay, I just want to thank you guys for letting us share that video and let you know that if you have a desire to get involved, our main needs right now are help on Wednesday night and then youth dinners. So maybe if you could talk with your Sunday school and see if you guys would be interested in sponsoring a youth dinner, that would be great. And again, thank you guys so much for your continued support. As you can see, it's been busy, but I think the youth have had some good growth opportunities this summer. So thank you very much.
Amen. Let's all stand and sing our hymn of praise, Praise to the Lord Almighty, number 139. Please remain standing and join me in a responsive prayer for our back to school prayers. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we begin this new school year, we give thanks to you, have given us the ability to learn many things in many ways. We give thanks that we learn in school, learn in church, in our families, and in our communities and world. We recognize learning as a gift from you, O God, as the Bible teaches us that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. We know that we are designed for the purpose of learning, love, and action. We ask for your blessings upon the new school year, that it may be a time when we appreciate fully your gift of learning. We pray, too, that you will bless our schools and teachers, administrators and students, classmates and friends, and school workers in all areas. Thank you for resources and those who help us with resources when funds are not available for family to provide for their own. We thank you for our Sunday school teachers and their love for sharing God's word, leading discussions, supporting students, both young and older. We pray for those who are in college, going through higher learning experiences, that your Holy Spirit will lead them to God-given work. Loving God, thank you for our minds, bodies, and souls, that ye may be filled with the good things, your special buildings, dependent on people. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Y'all are pretty away for 1 week after school. How was it?
Good.
Good. I'm glad. So, I brought my cell phone with me today. And on your cell phone, what can you do?
Play games.
Play games.
Call people.
Text.
If you're in trouble, you can call someone to help
you. If you're in trouble, you can call somebody to help you. What else, Nathan? Voicemail. You know, that's exactly what I wanted somebody to say. You can go to the park if you listen and get pizza. There you go. He's got it. Voicemail. There's a lot of things, you know, because we call people. And a lot of times people don't answer. Yes, I'm looking at my work BFF on the front row. We have a tendency to leave each other messages. But you know what? And they're going to leave you a voicemail. That's the perfect answer, Nathan. And so what do? You re-listen for it, don't you? Call back and you get it back. Well, you know, we have a special message that was left for us, but it's not necessarily on a cell phone. A special message that we were left is found in the Bible. And the message that I'm talking about today is that Jesus wants us to go fishing, but he didn't want us to go fishing for fish. He wants us to go fishing for men. Just like in the story where he's starting to call. Today they're going to be talking about calling and picking out his disciples or his friends, as we talk about in Kids Club. And so those boys, those men, friends, left everything that they had and went with Jesus. So my question to you today is, are you going to respond to your message, which is, are you going to go fishing for men or not? That's the question. Because, you know, we are in the time where school's starting. We're going to start back on Wednesday nights, and all of our friends are going to be, and this would be a good time to invite our friends to come to different activities. We have Hog on the Hill right around the corner. We have Wednesday nights, etc. So that would be a good time for us to invite our friends as we are fishing for men. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the beautiful weather that you have given us for the weekend. We thank you for the week that we had, the great first start to our school year. We just ask that you remind us that we need to go fishing for men just like you did. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, bring me home through the dark, through the storm, to the light. I have been to the mount, I have seen the promised land. Precious Lord, precious Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand, bring my child home at last, where the strife and the pain all are past. I have dreamed a great dream, that thy love shall rule our land. Precious Lord, precious Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand, take thy child unto thee. With my
please bow your head as we enter to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, we praise your name this morning. The name, your Son, Jesus Christ, a name that has none above them. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Throughout time, this has not changed, and you've promised that in your very word. We delight in your unfailing, unyielding, and unchanging love. Help us, Father, when we ourselves have to go through change. We resist it. We even fight against it. We pray for the students who are experiencing change in their lives this month as they return to school. Help us to realize that change is a way that we can draw closer to you, that we are conformed into the likeness of your Son, and we are delivered from our old ways of sin and death to enter into your kingdom forever and ever. Help us to embrace change and see it as a way we are under your care and the plan you have for our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you love each of us so much that you have a plan for every one of your children. We love you. We thank you for the opportunity to praise and worship you. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Remember the blessings in our lives this morning as the ushers come forward for our morning offering. We are so blessed. I call your attention this morning to the names in the bulletin. There's many names in the bulletin that are in need of sick and treatment from the Lord. We add one special one, Aaron Squires, on the loss of his father, Robert. Please remember all of these folks as we pray. Gracious God, we offer up ourselves this morning as living sacrifices in praise and worship to you. We pray for those that are sick and need that they'll feel your touch, Lord. We pray that you are pleased with the offering that we give. We ask that you bless these tithes and additional offerings that they may multiply and touch lives through the ministries everywhere. Amen.
Oh.
Please remain standing as we sing your hymn of meditation, number 451, Be Thou My Vision.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 19. And I pray as these words are read aloud that you find comfort in them and that they find a place inside your heart. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How often have we had to change jobs in our lifetime, move to different cities, or even change churches because of those moves? Well, the common thread here is change. As humans, we don't like change. We strive to keep things the same, don't we? Even our bodies fight change. The resistance to this change is called, scientifically, homeostasis. Now, the prophet Daniel Webster defines this as the tendency toward a relatively stable equilibrium between interdependent elements, especially as maintained by the physiological processes. Whew. When we begin to run a fever, our body fights that change and the causes of the fever. And we've done it so many times that we do it unconsciously. When we stand up from a sitting position, we fight gravity even without noticing it. By putting equal weight on both feet or on other devices that may be helping us to stand. Bottom line, we don't like change, and we fight against it with conscious or unconscious measures. Well, I can remember going back home to Greenwood after my first deployment to Iraq in 2004. Some of the older buildings in that small town had either been torn down and other ones starting to be built or built in their places. I didn't like it. As a matter of fact, I got just a little bit mad about it. I wanted things to stay the same in my little hometown. I felt safe going back home and seeing things the way they were when I was younger and growing up. According to Maslow's hierarchy of need theory, my sense of safety and belongingness had been threatened and disrupted. Now, it's not that I'm anti-progress, don't get me wrong, but just leave my hometown out of it. We are now in the time of year where all kids of all ages and some of us adults are experiencing change as we return back to class. It's funny. A few of my friends have been posting thoughts of anguish on their Facebook page, saying their baby was starting kindergarten or the first grade. Their post goes something like this. We're going to pause for a second. What are we going to do? We're going to use this. Okay.
Did he say I was short?
You can leave it on.
Okay. I just muted it. Okay. Now I can't move around. Okay. Well, their posts for in their Facebook pages, comical. They go something like this. They're handling it better than I am. My baby is going to kindergarten. Or they ran into their new rooms and didn't even look back. You know, kids are resilient, but we adults aren't so much. It's the change that we don't like. Well, what will those students returning to class see? They may see new teachers. They may see new administrators. They may see new classrooms on different floors in the same building. They may see new decorations or new paint. But just as I did with my hometown, they may be a little saddened by the changes in their old classrooms with different names on the wall or see different posters on the wall as well and on the lockers. Their safe places have been disrupted. But what are the new students facing as they enter their new schools, and what must they do to be successful and grow? Well, first, they have to accept their teacher. Their teacher is a person who has wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the course that they're teaching. And let's not forget a whole lot of patience. I remember my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Kukar. She was one of the most patient women that I've ever known until the day that she asked me, "Doug, what do you have in your mouth?" Well, I had a Jolly Rancher in my mouth, but I wasn't about to tell her. I answered, "My tongue." She didn't exhibit much patience at that point, with her arm on mine, dragging me out of the door with a paddle in her hand. Yeah. We can say, and the word tells us, that teaching is a gift. It's a vocation from which all other vocations are born. I mean, think about it. If it weren't for teachers, there'd be no architects, engineers, doctors, accountants, lawyers, and the list goes on. Now, all of these are born out of the academic setting in higher education. But what about on the home site, on the home building site? Who's going to teach that new person how to cut angles on wood or hang sheetrock or pour concrete or lay tile and so on? There are teachers everywhere we go and in all walks of life, and we must accept teachers and trust them in their teachings. The people around the students may be the same this year as they go back, or maybe they'll be different depending upon the school they attend. New friends can be hard to make. I once asked a class I was teaching if they had ever picked up a book and decided whether they liked it or not based on the dust cover. Or for some of us older folks that used to go to Blockbuster to rent movies on VHS, yeah, we made decisions based on that cover on the shelf, didn't we? Well, in both of those cases, I had several head nods in the classes. Then I asked them to look at the word prejudiced. If we break it down, it merely means to prejudge. And we all do that to some extent. We usually think negatively, though, when we hear the word, but that's not always the case. However, the first definition in the dictionary, which goes right straight to the negative itself, says a preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. Funny, the word opinion begins with a letter with a great big hole in the middle. Opinions are decision without the luxury of having all the facts. Our students must be careful not to prejudge other students or their teachers before they get a chance to know them as they begin this school year. There will also be new rules, new ways of navigating their environment. There may be new administrators as well. And depending upon what school they're attending or we are attending, those teachers or guest lecturers may be very prominent or famous. Their reputation may precede them, so new can be very daunting to students as they develop the new normal in their lives. We can see all these same things in the scripture this morning as Jesus chose the 12. First, let's look at a moment at the preparation. This act of picking the 12 was one of the most important decisions in Jesus' ministry. This would be his inner circle that would see his humanity, his vulnerability, and his glory. Jesus went up on the mountainside to pray. Verse 12 tells us that he prayed, and he prayed all night long. This decision, he saw this as one decision that would affect the future of the church. He sought the divine will of the Father. I'm just thinking, how much better would it be if we spent more time on our knees when we have big decisions or even small decisions to make? Proverbs 4:7 says, "The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever else you do, get insight." Jesus did just this, and he got a divine answer. Now let's look at the decision. What did Jesus not do? In biblical times, how did they make decisions? Well, they cast lots. They believed there was divine intervention in that method. Now we know that chance is a major factor when casting lots or throwing dice, and Jesus was having none of that. Jesus also did not make a knee-jerk reaction or a spontaneous decision. What example would either of these two methods have been for the 12? Jesus would have been no different than other religious leaders of the day if he would have used either one of these two methods to make the decision. He was setting the 12 apart from the other disciples by setting himself apart first and being an example to them. The scripture tells us after praying all night long, Jesus returned down to the mountain and called all the disciples to him. Now, it doesn't tell us how many were there, but we can surmise it was a great many. Jesus chose 12 from the multitude. This was putting the preparation and the decision into practice. Jesus called them by name, and you can read those names as we did this morning in the scripture. One other thing he did was set them apart just as he set himself apart during the night before. They were no longer called disciples. Verse 13 says he designated them apostles, even though Jesus would continue to teach those gathered around him and challenge the religious leaders of the day in his teachings. Jesus prepared the 12 apostles to be his messengers. The word disciple translates to learner. The word apostle means messenger. By being Jesus' messenger, they were going to spread the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. How important was the choosing of the 12 to the Father? Revelation 21:14 says this, "The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." This, the New Jerusalem. But who were these chosen 12? We can say it was a diverse group. Some were fishermen, tax collectors, and even avid nationalists opposed to Roman rule, and they were being taught by a carpenter. These were ordinary men, but being ordinary was probably where the similarity ends. I mean, they were diverse in their look, they were diverse in the way they dressed, the way they walked, the way they talked, and probably even their smell. I mean, fishermen are going to smell like fish. Tax collectors were more than likely, they smelled like the incense that is being burned in the outer courts of the temple in the money changing area. Well, who was not of the 12? They were not people who considered themselves to be the religious elite of the day, for obvious reasons. The apostles came with a blank slate upon which Jesus would lay the foundation of the church. Finally, let's look at the outcome of the preparation and the decision. What did Jesus give to the 12? Matthew 10:1 says, "Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness." They had the authority of heaven and earth, but they did not always have the faith to carry it out. We know this when they tried to cast a demon out of a boy in Matthew chapter 17, and they couldn't. Jesus told them that they lacked the faith to have the demon submit to their authority given them by himself. They needed the faith the size of a mustard seed. With this faith, they could heal every disease and sickness, but they also had the authority to raise people from the dead. Acts 9:36 through 42 recounts the story of Peter raising Tabitha, translated in the Greek as Dorcas, from the dead. He had faith in what the teacher had taught him, and the outcome brought glory to God. What did Jesus, the teacher, give to them? He gave them a gift of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. As their faith grew, they became more patient in their ministries. Eventually, they came to trust all that Jesus had taught them and what the Holy Spirit had revealed to them. Were they open to new friends and accepting them for who they were? I think we can say yes with a great deal of certainty. And were they open to new surroundings, open to new rules, and open to developing a new normal? I think we can say yes as well. Last week, we prayed in this very sanctuary and asked God to help us approach him as a child. This week, we need to further approach him as a student. I believe we all consider ourselves students or learners in the ways of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If so, we are all then disciples of Christ. But God calls us into a deeper relationship with him. He calls us to be apostles or messengers of the good news. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Matthew 20:17 through 20. God is asking us to become teachers, messengers, apostles of his word, spreading that word to all nations, making disciples in his name, for his sake and his glory. The beginning of the church started with only 12. What more could Asbury United Methodist Church do if we all came together, accepting each other's weaknesses, relying on each other's strengths, and doing everything that we can to reflect the love of Christ? I ask you, what do you want to do for God's kingdom this day? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 569, We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations. If you would like to join this church by whatever means, transfer a letter or I'm getting tongue-tied with this in front of me. I'm not used to this, but your time now is to come forward, either for a profession of faith, transfer of letter, or if you would like to come pray, our prayer rows are always open. So stand as we are singing hymn number 569. Jim, RJ, Richard, it has been so good to hear y'all sing this morning. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for making this worship service so powerful and enriching it so much. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen.
Amen.
I ask that you receive this blessing. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for this church, your church, Asbury United Methodist Church. Father, I pray that we leave this place, that we go out, that we become your messengers, your apostles, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all of the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that.